now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, find acceptance in the sight of Almighty God, that in the word we proclaim, through the preaching of the word and the hearing of the word, and through the blessing of this table, might find favor in the eyes of the Almighty. Amen. So wind is an important thing. W-I-N-D, wind is an important thing. It's part of the life force and the lifeblood of this very planet. Nothing can be more lovely than a cool wind or a cool breeze on a hot day. If you were outside yesterday for any more than 5 minutes, you may have found yourself praying for a bit of cool wind. Then again, though, nothing can be more terrifying than wind at its full force. I mean, wind can knock us off our feet. It can blow so hard, and yet we cannot ever see it. It can only be felt. It can only be felt. Further, as wind dials up its power, it can spread fire and smoke, as we saw in Canada earlier this summer, and horrifically in Hawaii all this past week. I think there are many fires there burning even now, fires spread by a nearby hurricane blowing wind across the islands. Wind can also do this. It can blow dust storms across the face of the earth. We don't get many of those here, but in the Middle East and continents like Africa and even in the American West, wind can kick up dust storms so big that it can paralyze cities for days. And at its full power, it can destroy. Many of you all know that I'm from Louisiana, and so in early September 2005, after Katrina had devastated the places that I loved on August 29, 2005, I went home to help my family members and relatives cut out, and I do mean cut out. Trees bigger than the ones that you can see out of these windows were splintered like toothpicks, broken in half like tongue depressors. Going back even further than 2005, I had to have a physical education credit in order to graduate from Davidson College some 30 years ago. The fact that I was on the football team and was being physically educated by my coaches all spring and all fall long did not seem to matter to the registrar. No, I had to take one of the classes that she had listed in the catalog. So I signed up for sailing. That was my PE credit. Some of you may know that Davidson College has a lake campus along the shores of Lake Norman, and so we went out to the lake campus to learn how to sail. Let me put it this way, to learn how to sail. The boat they put me in was called a Sunfish. Anybody ever seen one? Great, great boat. Gosh, so useful. The first thing I learned about sailing was that my body type does not fit into a Sunfish. It does not. It's a little tiny boat. It's not a big boat at all. The second thing I learned was that sailing into a headwind, it's no joke. It takes a little courage and some perseverance. It takes a lot of knowledge and practice. So hard, in fact, that the first two times that I tried to do it, the instructor had to come out into the middle of the lake to tow me in because I was being blown out to the middle. And you do not want to be in the middle of Lake Norman, which is a really big lake, in a little tiny boat. Let's think about the progression of Matthew 14 for just a minute. A lot happens before we get to this walking on the water thing. The first thing that happens is that Jesus learns of the death of John the Baptist. So he goes off into the lake in the boat to be by himself because he's sad. He sees a crowd gathering along the lake shore in the distance, so he sails over there to where the crowd was. And he walks among them, healing their sick, eventually feeding them a meal, a miraculous meal of the loaves and fishes. Thousands of people get fed. Then Jesus, where we started with our text today, immediately orders the disciples to go back across the lake while he goes up, to a mountain by himself to be alone, only to wait until the next morning to walk out across the water to be with the disciples again. Like I say, each and every time we have these kind of moments, whenever Jesus is near water or he's near a mountain, it's a good time to pay attention because that tends to be where really important things happen. It's the wind shows up, of course, the next morning with the walking on the water bit. Right? They were battered by waves, Matthew tells us, far from land, for the wind was against them. They were like an oversized college offensive lineman sophomore stuck in a little Sunfish. They weren't going anywhere. They're simply stuck. Unlike me, though, nobody's coming to tow them to shore. And to make matters worse, they were out there all night. Matthew says Jesus appeared at the dawn. So no wonder they were terrified when they saw him coming. If you had been stuck on a boat all night without a flashlight, and you saw a human figure sort of walking across the water towards you, you'd be scared too. Anyone would be scared in those circumstances. So they cry out in fear, Matthew tells us. And then Jesus does what he always did and said. He tells them, do not be afraid. Peter tries to join Jesus on the water, and he starts off pretty well, but he begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me. And why did he sink? Because he felt the power of the wind, and he noticed the size of the waves. The whole thing ends at verse 33. The wind finally stops. Jesus and Peter get in the boat, and the disciples say to Jesus, truly you are the Son of God. If you went home and read Matthew from chapter 1 to this point, which is about the midpoint of Matthew's gospel, you will see that the disciples don't really understand what's going on with Jesus. They don't have a full grasp of it until this moment. There's something about the wind and the waves and the fear and the walking on the water and all of it that finally they say what God is wanting them to have said for the whole book thus far. Truly, you are the Son of God. So on the level of the divine, this episode is absolutely about the power and majesty of Jesus and his recognized lordship. This is a big moment. Truly, you are the Son of God. On the human level, though, this episode is all about Peter. Peter is us in the story. And ultimately, it's a story about taking a leap of faith, trusting in Jesus, and confronting human fears. More than anything else, friends, more than anything else in this world, fear is the true enemy. It's the main tool of all bullies. It's the tool of all the people on the internet, the TV, the radio, who try to manipulate our thinking and our decisions. Now let's be honest about this and have a moment of clarity. There are real things in life for which we should be afraid. We should be afraid of violence. We should be afraid of violence. We should be afraid of illness. There are things you do not want to hear your doctor say. We should be afraid of tornadoes, hurricanes, wildfires. And I think we should also be afraid of the hatred we see. And I mean blind hatred, angry hatred, that we see too much of on social media. These are serious things. And they are worthy of our attention. And we should be wary of them. And yet in the midst of any fear that we might have, especially even the justified fear, Jesus shows up and he's going to say, do not be afraid. Over and over again, Jesus reminds us in the pages of the Bible that fear should not define us or guide our decision making, because we human beings make our worst decisions when we are afraid. You may have heard the term fight or flight. We are told by psychologists that when the human being is confronted with fear, we either fight for survival or we flee for protection. And yet Peter sort of does a little bit of both, maybe does a third way. Let's give him his due. So yes, he gives in to fear when he feels the wind and he feels the power of the waves. But in his fear, he calls out to Jesus for help. He screams, Lord, save me. And I think he knows that Jesus has the power to save him. And I think he believes that Jesus has the power to save him. Lord, save me. Truly, you are the Son of God. What starts in fear ends with faith. Now, I know we're a long way from Christmas, but I want you to remember how persistent this pattern is in the Bible. The shepherds appear to the angels, appear to the shepherds in Luke chapter, in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. And the first word of the angels to the shepherds that Luke tells us were terrified, first word, guess what they say? Do not be afraid. Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel. Anybody want to guess what Mary, the mother of Jesus, hears from the angel Gabriel's mouth? The first word that he says? You already know it. Do not be afraid. See, evangelism, right? The evangel, the gospel. It's supposed to be good news that we don't have to be afraid anymore because God is with us in the world through the person of Christ. That's why the word angel is the root of the word evangelism. That's why if you're ever in a church or a Bible study, even if you go to revival, you're at a time of worship someplace, and the preacher or the teacher or the leader is trying to scare folks into faith or is using fear as a motivational technique to build the ministry, you should be really suspicious. We can't really faithfully follow a Lord who always says, "Do not be afraid," if we're trying to scare everyone else into believing. See, whenever we face the headwinds of life, whenever we are stuck, whenever we are terrified, as the disciples on the boat were, whenever we are afraid like Peter because the wind has blown so hard into our lives that we can no longer keep our balance, that's the precise moment that we must remember infinite hope and turn to Christ in prayer, call out to him, take a deep breath, listen more than we talk, and consciously choose to follow in the footsteps of God. My friends, only you know the headwinds of fear that you have faced in your life or the ones that you're facing right now. Only you know the ones that you are most afraid of. And we all know that into every life some headwinds are going to come. Sometimes they'll threaten to get us stuck out on the water, but when the wind blows into our lives, the first choice and the best choice is to call upon Jesus, who is always faithful, and who will always join us in the boat. In the name of God, the Creator, God, the Savior, and God, the Holy Spirit, we offer these things. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord this day. Go in peace to go out into the world and let your fears be comforted by a God who stands ready to comfort us even in our greatest moments of distress. Go in peace this day, friends, in all places, for all people, remembering to love and serve one another and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. This day, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we be blessed. And welcome back, choir. That was fantastic. Weren't you touched by that? Wasn't that good? Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. Amen.